Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
If you would just stand to your feet and give honor to where honor is due for Apostle Yurton.
Thank you. You may be seated. My heart is so stirred this morning because of your heart, your spirit, and I know it comes from your pastor and leadership of this church. I thank God for it. I thank God for Rick Clendon and that introduced me to Pastor John and then you to Pastor Jeff. And oh my, it's already been a wonderful journey. I can only imagine what it's going to be in the future. I rejoice in the report from Chiapas, Mexico, San Cristobal. I noticed, Pastor Jeff, I didn't see any pictures on water baptism on this one, though. When I saw those pictures last year, I had to laugh because I've been there so many times. It gets cold in San Cristobal, and there's no heated pools or water. I mean, you can just ask Pastor Jeff. You know, he said, next time count me out on that one. I don't need that blessing. But I said, boy, I know it's cold there. But thank God. Oh my, what God is doing. Over 700 teenagers, and that's just in that area, right in that area. I think there was two or three of the church districts that were participating in it, but I'd say within an hour drive of that area where they had the camp, and my, fantastic, fantastic. So it's going to be wonderful to see all the things that God has done. And not just there, that's just a little microcosm of what God is doing all over the world. So congratulations on 20 years. I salute you, sir. That's wonderful, wonderful. And as the prophet Samuel said, Ebenezer, everybody say Ebenezer. You're speaking Hebrew there. Ebenezer means what God did yesterday. He's saying, if God did that yesterday, he's with us today. I wonder what he's going to do now. And that's what I say. If the last 20 years have been so fantastic, only God knows what the future holds. One other thing I want to say before I leave that, I was here with you last summer. You were doing some kind of a celebration. I was here. And there was a sister came up to me afterward and said to me, that God had given her a dream about feeding children. I'm sorry, I failed to get your name. Would you please see me, if you're here today, see me after service, because I have some ideas that I believe that God is not only dealing with you, but I can give some direction for that. It's just a privilege for Evelyn Knight to be here. Evelyn and I are getting ready to celebrate another anniversary on June the 14th. They fly a flag here in the U.S., Flag Day, celebrating our anniversary. That's great, isn't it? And my, this will make 56 years. Yeah, praise God. That is a miracle. Anybody can live with me for 56 years. It's a miracle, really. And how I appreciate this woman of God. She is, I say, Jesus saved my soul. Evelyn saved my life. And there's a lot of truth in that because she's helped me keep my feet on the ground, you know, when I get so radical with some of my ideas. But how I thank God for her. She has been such a blessing to me. I prayed a lot about this service this week, and I wasn't getting any clear direction. I'd go this way, and then I had to, no. And so I'd made the decision. I changed the message twice already. And then last night, as I was just prepping for this service, see, to be prepared for a service, You spend more time in prayer probably than anywhere else. And then secondly, in just going over the mental notes and preparing all your thoughts and everything. But as I was working on my computer, the news popped up. Anybody see that last night? Israel was attacked by Iran. When I saw that, I thought, oh, that's why I've been struggling to know which direction to go. It's because I believe God wants to say something particularly to you that addresses where our world is today. And I appreciate the media department being patient with me. I had sent them a message, and then this morning I sent them another. I'm sorry. I know God doesn't change his mind, but I know what's on your mind today. Sometime today, you're all going to be asking the question, what's happening in our crazy world? What's going to happen next? Is this Armageddon? I mean, we're always, and that's very normal, very natural. But I've discovered something about people. They're a lot like sheep. And that's both a blessing and something else. See, sheep are very skittish creatures. Anything can frighten them. The moment that something scares them, their head pop up and they're looking around. What's going on? What's happening? What? The problem is the grass is on the ground. And you can't eat the grass while your head's up looking around. And if you don't eat, you'll get sick. You get sick, you can die. And so one of the best things that a shepherd can do is calm the sheep. And they do it many different ways. Some of them whistle, some of them sing, some of them talk, but they have ways. The sheep knows the shepherd's voice, and they relax and say, everything's going to be all right. And they go back to eating again. And so I believe that God wants me to do that for you today. I want to talk to you like a father. And I believe that's who I am, and I have earned the right to talk to you as a father. I want to speak from a series of messages I'm calling The Life of Significance. Living a Life of Significance. This is a study of the life of Elijah and Elisha. And I have preached on Elijah for many years, but I realized recently that these two lives are totally interconnected, kind of like Rick and Dale. They're just connected. I never found anybody like Rick Clendon and to work with in ministry. We're like a hand in glove. I'd set him up, he set me up. I mean, it just, the chemistry was just there. It's kind of like Paul said of Timothy, I have no man so like-minded. And that's the way it was for Rick and I. That's Elijah and Elisha. And I realized my series on living a life of significance was not complete. I needed to go back and fill in the blanks with Elisha, what Elisha plays in this role. And so this lesson I'm calling Deliverance. It's the last in 10 lessons, and I've got the first six on the web right now. And mentioning that, I will say, just go daleyurton.com on your computer. It'll take you to the website. We're working on a total bilingual website, and we've already got hundreds of messages there, and we got several hundred more to go. So just bear with us while we put it all together. But I've got six lessons on Elijah, Life of Significance, and we're going to be adding these four more lessons on Elisha. And this one, I'm calling it Deliverance, and it's taken at the end of the life of Elisha. So we've already come through Elijah's ministry. Now we're coming to the end of Elisha's ministry. The time in which the stories that we have of Elijah and Elisha came is amazing. It was the worst king and queen Israel had ever experienced. Anybody ever hear of Ahab and Jezebel? Yeah, they come out of this time, out of this story. It was the most difficult time. The kingdom of Israel had divided into two parts. You have the northern kingdom of 10 tribes, and that's where Elijah and Elisha were. They were in this northern part, and it was just simply called Israel. And it's a little confusing because we think of the whole country, but the southern kingdom was called Judah. Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. Samaria was the capital of northern Israel. Elijah and Elisha, there's not one verse in the Bible that says that they ever were in Jerusalem. It's possible because, you know, they still had the feast and such that were going on in Jerusalem. It's possible that they went there, but it's not recorded. Most of the miracles happened in Samaria or right around Samaria, which was the capital city of the kingdom of northern Israel. And so none of these kings in northern Israel were godly men. Every one of them was an idolater, not one righteous king. And yet in the middle of all that, two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament come to the surface, Elijah and Elisha. People still talk about them all over the world today. They had lives of significance. The reason I'm telling you that is, if they can do it, you can do it. There's nothing to limit you, nothing to stop you from living a life of significance, of making a difference in our world. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Now, I don't mean that it doesn't matter as far as our country's concerned. I think there is things that are, you know, we should be good citizens. We should try to elect the best we can. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House. We've got to understand that. During this terrible time of idolatry, Elijah and Elisha have successful ministry. Now, here's my conclusion. Our circumstances don't control God's kingdom. No matter what's going on around you, what's going on inside you is of more importance. Let Jesus be Lord of your life, just as these two men allowed Jehovah to be Lord. One other thing I want to say is compare the life of Jesus. Jesus was born into a very similar world, a world of chaos. The Roman Empire ruled. They had ruled for hundreds of years. They're going to rule for a couple hundred more. He's born right in the middle of the Roman Empire. It was a very cruel empire. King Herod was king over Judah. And yet he wasn't even an Israeli. He was an Edomite descent. And so politically, they're in a mess. And then you've got Caiaphas is the high priest. Caiaphas was of the religious, today we would call them denominations. He was of a religious denomination called Sadducees. And you can remember that, Sadducees, because they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in spirits, angels. They didn't believe in a resurrection. No wonder they were sad. Didn't believe in a resurrection. And to them, when it's over, it's over. Just bury them and go on with life. That's all that's important. That's the high priest in Jerusalem. None of that stopped Jesus. And it doesn't stop him today. It's not lack of money. It's not lack of friends. It's not lack of support. It's no, It all is determined by our relationship with God. And so I want to talk about how to have a life of significance, and particularly in the area of deliverance. Here's point number one. God's kingdom is greater than the kingdoms of men. That's what I've just been talking about in the introduction. God's kingdom is greater than the kingdoms of men. Let me read to you in 2 Kings, the 8th chapter and verse 1. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life. Wow, that's pretty good ministry, raising somebody from the dead. And he said to her, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." My, that's amazing. Let me break this point down to two parts. The first one is, God gives prophetic ministry primarily to proclaim his purposes. I am not a prophet, but I have prophesied. That being a prophet is a unique office. It's prophets are, they say they got a tongue like a cow. And what they mean by that, it's rough on both sides. Prophets love God dearly. It's people they don't like. It's, you know, they're unique people in this case. And they speak representing God, and it doesn't matter who it might offend. God uses them, though, in special ways. For instance, in the life of Elijah, back to 1 Kings 17 and 1, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Boy, that's classic talk for a prophet. That's Elijah at his best, declaring the purposes of God. Now, it's true that they work a lot of miracles, as I mentioned, raising the boy from the dead. That's a great miracle. But their primary ministry is to bring a word from God. And that's why we need the house of God so much. It's more than just a house of prayer. It's a house where God speaks to us. Never think of prayer as just talking to God. You're missing out on the most important part. Oh, yes, we should talk to God, but God gave you one mouth and two ears. Use them proportionately. When it comes to prayer, don't come in and tell God all your great ideas or your great wants and needs and then jump up and run off before you've even properly said thank you, let alone stop to hear what he has to say. God help us. It's one of the biggest mistakes that Christians make. We're in too big a hurry to talk to God, but not spending enough time listening to God. Now, in this case, bringing the word from God, this is what Elisha is doing. Now, I want to set this in the picture so you understand what's happening. Elisha is now an older man. In fact, by the end of this story, he's dead. He's in the last 7 years of his life. I'm not sure if he knew all of that, but we know from studying the Bible that is true. He's at the end of his life, and God gives him a word for this lady. My, isn't that interesting? Not a word for the king. Not a word for the high priest. No. A lady. In fact, she was a remarkable woman. She was a very spiritual person. And to go back and study her story, I mean, she was able to pick up on things in the spirit. It's what I perceive. This is a holy man of God that's going by us, she said to her husband one day. Let's prepare a place for him. This woman was in tune with God. She was in tune with
what was happening in her life. And I'm not sure about her husband. We think she probably was what's called a trophy bride. In other words, she was a young, beautiful woman that was married to an old, rich man. Still happens today, not just in Hollywood, but all over the world it happens. And evidently that's what had taken place in this story. But she is a sincere believer and worshiper of Jehovah. And she said, I perceive. Do you understand? Discernment is more important than learning. Discernment doesn't come through your head. It comes through your spirit. And she picked up on that. This man that comes through here, this is a holy man of God. So she started saying, come to my house. I've got something special. And she's fixing food for him. Oh, my. Even the cattle come back if you feed it. Prophets are no different in that sense. And so she starts feeding the prophet. And one day the prophet gives her a message. You're going to have a son. And that was shocking to her because she's married to an old man. Read your Bible. It's all there. You act like I'm making this up. I'm not. It's all there. The boy dies and God raises him from the dead because of the faith of this woman. She's even mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Women, by faith, women received their dead back to life again. Hallelujah for the ladies. That's what we're talking about here. Now, the second point I would give concerning this is when God judges a nation, he confronts their idols. It's always this way. It was this way in Babylon. It was this way in Egypt. You just search through the Bible, and he always confronts their idols. One of the questions I'm asked over and over again is, do you think judgment has begun on the United States? And here's my response. God has not spoken to me directly concerning that. If he had, I would tell you. He has not. I look at what's going on, and I know judgment is coming. Whether it's begun yet, or if we're just getting ready to begin, it will come. And the way I know is, remember when Abraham was praying and he's talking to God and he said, will not the God of all the universe do what's right? He was trying to save Sodom. He's praying for Sodom. Will not the judge of all the universe do what's right? That was God's problem. He had to do what's right. He still does. And if God doesn't judge the United States, he's going to have to apologize to a lot of other folk. That's not going to happen. We will reap what we sow. Everybody does. Somebody has to pay the penalty. If judgment hasn't begun, we're on the edge of it. It may have already begun, but as I said, God has not spoken to me. So this is just from what I've learned and experienced. But it is coming. God always begins by judging the idols. What is the idol of the United States? More than anything else. It's greed. Yeah, that's it. It's the love of money. It's the pursuit of money. It has destroyed this nation. The very fabric of this nation has been destroyed over it. I've seen it and I've had to deal with it, and every pastor has to deal with it. All the stories that is told. What is all this crisis about? The drug crisis. What's all this about with all the social upheaval that's happening? It all goes back to the love of money. Some people are willing to do anything for more money. If you have not watched the movie Sound of Freedom, I encourage you to do so. Get a copy, watch it. It's based on a true story. It's just so filled with the passion that what's going on with selling children into slavery, sexual slavery, selling them, trafficking them. Why did they do it? Because of the love of money. Some people are willing to do anything because of that. Now, this is where he is. God is going to deal with northern Israel because they have never worshiped the true God, Jehovah. In fact, King Ahab, who was the most infamous, and his wife Jezebel, they introduced Baal worship to them. They made it the official religion of Israel. You'll find this in 1 Kings 16 and 32, speaking about Ahab. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So they made it the official religion of northern Israel. Not Jehovah, no. Elisha is considered a renegade prophet. He's considered one of, those that used to be. The new thing, the now thing is worshiping Baal. The word Baal simply is a word that meant Lord. And they had many, many different lords or Baals that they worshiped. It was considered to be a fertility god. Baal was supposedly the husband of Asheroth, who Asheroth is another idol. She's the female counterpart. It's quite easy to see how the sequence of this goes. You got Baal, that he represents money or prosperity. By worshiping these fertility gods, you become prosperous. By worshiping Asherah, she represents sensuality and all kinds of immoral orgies that took place in the worship of the Asherahs. It's still the same today. You look around and that's what you see, is the corruption that takes place through money and sex. It's still the same story. They just put a different name on it, a different tag on it, but it's the same story. Now, here's the second point I want to talk about. When judgment comes, good people suffer judgment with the rest of the nation. We're there. We're living in it. We're experiencing it. And that's what makes situations like the conflict in Israel with Iran in the Mideast so nerve-wracking. Is because we're already on the edge because of all the stuff going on here. Everybody's upset. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's dealing. And then you put world problems on top of national problems, political problems, and it makes you wonder, what are we going to do? Now look at what the woman does. Go back to 2 Kings, the 8th chapter. Verse 2. So the woman, the Shunammite woman, arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household. Her husband's not involved. So obviously, the old gentleman has died. She is now leading. She takes her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Now, I slowed down deliberately because I want you to think this through. She's leaving northern Israel and going to the land of the Philistines. In fact, the prophet said to her, go wherever you can go and find a place to stay. For 7 years, there's going to be judgment on this land. Wow. That is an amazing statement. Here's the first thing that I see in this. The righteous have an advantage of knowing God's word. And that's the advantage that we have. We not only know God, but God gives us direction, shows us what to do, how to manage our lives. God can prosper you even during a time of judgment. Hello. The kingdom of God is greater than the United States of America. The amens were weaker then, but you got to process this. Yes, we are citizens of the U.S., and I pray you are a good citizen. I pray you obey the laws. I pray that, you know, that you stop at stop signs, particularly when I'm coming through. It's good for all of us. But the truth of it is, we are also citizens of heaven. That is a greater citizenship. And God, I don't need a policeman standing at the corner to make sure I'm going to stop at the sign. No. I'm going to do it because it's right to do it. Whether there's a policeman there or not makes no difference. Thank you. We have the law for the lawbreakers. Amen. And so this woman goes to the land of the Philistines. That is incredible. What happens, though, with knowledge? We have the word of God. There's going to be 7 years of famine. You know what's going to happen before it happens. Knowledge is power. Knowledge gives you the ability to be able to make wise decisions, to do the right things, so you can be blessed during a time of judgment. God can take care of you. Now, this brings the question of where does our faith come from? The Bible is clear about where our faith comes from in Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's where it comes from. When you have the word of God, it doesn't matter if it's a stormy sea. You'll just walk on the water. Hello? It doesn't matter that you don't have anything to eat. Here comes the birds bringing bread with them. And if you need some Chick-fil-A even, you know. Yes, we have an advantage because we have the word of God, and it shows us what to do. Now, here's the second thing I learned concerning this. The kingdom of God extends over the land of the Philistines. Now, please understand, I'm greatly indebted to the United States of America. I salute the flag. I stand and salute the flag. Because this is a great nation. And many of the things that I have enjoyed in life, I've enjoyed because I live here. I've traveled the world. Approximately 150 to 200 times I've been around the world preaching the gospel, and that's a long way. I've not found any place else I would rather live. No place. There's some beautiful places around the world, but man, the United States is a unique country. And yet, if God's judgment comes on the United States, he can take care of you in another place if he needs to. In this case, go wherever you wish to go, because God's called for judgment on northern Israel. Psalm 24 and verse 1, he says, "The earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein." So the truth is, it's better to be in Philistia without the judgment of God than it is to be in Israel with the judgment of God. You're going to suffer right along with them. So here's knowledge, which is power, which shows her what was the wise thing for her to do. Now, here's the third thing that I want to talk about in this story. And that is time. There is a time factor, a limit on judgment. A limit. There always is. Always is. One day, all judgment comes with restrictions. All of it. For her, it was 7 years. Remember when Jesus was facing the crucifixion, when he was facing, he called it the hour of temptation. In other words, there's a limit on it. It's what he promised. I will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. But with the temptation, I will also make a way of escape. So there's always the limitation that is there. It comes with restriction. For the Israelites, God was calling for 7 years. Now, don't get hung up on the numbers there. I don't think that's the main part. The main point that God is making is there is a limit on it, and there's a limit on all judgment. The truth of it is, for you and I, Jesus Christ has already died and paid the penalty for our sin. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're not under the curse of the law. We're not under the curse of those things we did in the past. And all of us have a past. All of us have a past. Some of us sin bigger than others because we had more opportunities than others. We had more money than others. We, you know, or we live longer than others, whatever. But that doesn't matter. His grace is sufficient for those that put their faith in Christ. So he called for 7 years of judgment. The purpose of judgment is always repentance. That's why God does it. God's not just trying to settle the score with us. No, you hit me, I'll hit you back. No, it's not that at all. It's to bring us to repentance so that we can now receive his grace, his favor upon our life. That's the purpose. God was trying to get them to turn around. But there's something else concerning this. This timing. Timing is always a part of our lives. We live in this linear moment of time. It's one of the things that always confuse me when I go to countries like Mexico or Egypt, or they don't live by linear time there like we do. Linear time is seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, years. That's the way we think of it. And it's good for accomplishing a lot. They live by what is called layered time. In other words, the emphasis for them is, I'm with my friends. So it doesn't matter what time we start church. And they may be 30 minutes late. Nobody's looking at their watch except me. I'm the one that's concerned about linear time. I've got a sermon to preach. I'm ready to go. And you're taking my time. And they think in layered, I'm with my friends, so it doesn't matter. We're enjoying each other's presence. Now, layered time is good for building relationships, but it's terrible on trying to get things done. Now, time is always important when you talk about the purposes of God. For instance, in 2 Kings 8 and 3, it says, it came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines. 7 years. Now notice what it's saying. It said there will be 7 years of famine, so the 7 years is up. The 7 years are fulfilled. Then it becomes more specific. It brings it down to the day. The day. The woman has returned from the land of the Philistines. The day she chooses to go see the king. They got a new king now, and he's wanting to hear all the stories about the prophet Elisha. And so he's talking to Gehazi, who had been a servant of Elisha, and saying, tell me the stories about Elisha. That's when she walks in. The very minute he's talking about her son, who was a little boy, and God raised him from the dead. Now, why am I emphasizing that so? Because there are no accidents with God. None whatsoever. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows who your parents are. No, God did not make a mistake by giving you the family he gave you. He gave you that family because he wanted to teach you some things. Not everything that your family did was right. It wouldn't be human if it was. We all make mistakes, but there are no mistakes with God. And so God was directing her steps that the very moment she comes in before the king, and the reason that she is there is to ask that the king would restore her house, her land back to her again. She'd been gone for 7 years. It's come up for back taxes, so to speak, and somebody else is living in the house. She's wanting to know what does she need to do to get her house back again. And so the very moment that she steps into the court, Gehazi turns and says, King, you won't believe this, but the woman that just walked in with her son, that's the boy I was talking about that Elisha raised from the dead. You talk about setting up a king. He didn't have a chance. God has set him. Am I talking to anyone? Some of you think, wow, it was good. I met that person. God set that up for you. Hello. God is very much involved in our world. We need to learn to pay attention. And thank God the king did here. Now, here's what I see. Second part of this thought on judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I give you the scripture reference. James, the second chapter, verse 13. Mercy triumphs. Oh, hallelujah. We were just singing a few moments ago, and I commend the worship leaders today. I tell you, I believe we really were in sync today. That I didn't know what they're going to sing. They didn't know what I'm going to preach. But did they ever set me up? It was talking about the terrible things and God being there. God working behind the scenes. God making all things work together for good to them that love him. That's what God is doing in our lives. God is working in every one of our lives. And if we will come to understand that this is where grace comes in, because where mercy triumphs over judgment is the opportunity for grace. Now, basically what she come for was mercy. That's what she come for. Would you have mercy on me and give me my land back again? My husband, he worked that land for so many years, and my son, he deserves the land. And have mercy on us, O king. And what happens? No, when the king hears the story, he confirms it with the woman. She said, yes, that's true. He raised my baby from the dead. It was a miracle. The king says, I don't only want to restore your land. I'm going to restore everything that your land has produced in the last 7 years. I'm speaking to someone right now that God is saying to you, I will restore to you. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the caterpillar, the locust has devoured. I will restore it. That's grace. That is grace. The grace of God. And so the king gives her more than enough. More than she asked for. That's the way God always does it. Give, give, give. And it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall I cause men to give into your bosom. That's grace. Grace. We can never earn it. We can't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But Jesus paid the price that we have become sons and daughters of God. And he will withhold no good thing from those that seek him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes, I hate what Iran did last night. It was terrible. You have no right to do that. They're playing with big fire. The judgment of God. I hate it. But yet I know that in the midst of it, God, being the God of grace, takes bad things and turns them into good things. She didn't work the land for the last 7 years. Her household didn't work the land for the last 7 years. Yes, she got a claim on the land because of her husband. She's a widow of the man that owned it. She got a claim on the land, but she had no claim on the harvest. And yet the king gives her the harvest. He gives her more than she had asked. You'll find this verse 6. The king said, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until now. Now that's the word that I have for you today. Yes, we're in the end time. Yes, judgment is coming. No, I am not afraid. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a way before me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh my, I don't know how you can sit there. I'm an old man and I want to dance. God is so good to us. God is so good to us. Yes, yes, yes. Be a good citizen. Yes, behave yourself. Do what's right. But don't you ever limit your Christianity to what you can do. Link your wagon, hitch your wagon to heavens, and let God begin to do through your life what he wants to do through your life. This is what God is saying to us. And I'm so thankful that in all the uncertainties, the political, yeah, yeah, don't you get tired of that? Just calling each other bad names and saying bad stuff about each other and no, 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 no. Don't get caught up in that. Live above that. There is another realm, the realm of the kingdom of God. Come on up here. What are you worrying about all that stuff? Why you can't even sleep at night? It's driving you out of your mind. Why don't you give it all to Jesus, casting all your cares on him? Because he cares for you. Oh, what a story. This woman lived in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. Elisha prophesied, raised the dead, multiplied the food. You just go on and on, caused axe heads to swim. I mean, this was a man of God. But he didn't have what you've got. We have a new covenant that is established on better promises. We've got a greater word. We don't have a high priest like Aaron. We have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is our Lord. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He became one of us so we could be like him. We need to learn to live on a higher level. A level of faith, a level of mercy, a level of grace. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father, I thank you. I thank you for this beautiful story. Thank you. Thank you for this excellent woman of faith. Even in the Old Testament, she got it. She received it. She lived in it. And the Word of God, it empowered her. Not only did she receive the house and the farm back again. She got all the benefits of the harvest without ever having even worked the field. Help us, oh God, if she can do it in the Old Testament, if she can do it under the law of Moses, if she can do it with a testament, a covenant that wasn't as great as what you provided for us. You became man and dwelt among us. You gave yourself for us so that we could be sons and daughters of God. Help us to live like your children. Stop living like beggars. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Stop complaining with all the blessings that we have. Help us to live in your abundant grace, your abundant life. I thank you for it. Our God is a God of grace, a God of abundance. I believe that God is speaking to many of you right now. And you need to lay your burdens down on the altar. You're fretting, upset. I would invite all the altar workers, the prayer counselors, would you come, please? And let's just prepare to minister to these people. And thank you, worship team. You picked some beautiful songs that set this message up perfectly. But if you're stressed over something, if there's something that's troubling you, then bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar and lay it at his feet right now. God has a word for you, a word for you. And the word will give you power. The word will give you faith. And faith will help you overcome whatever obstacles you face. Would you stand with me, please? Would you lead us in worship? And if you want prayer, you need prayer, this is a good time for you to receive. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.